Coming to you from the bottom of Lake Agassiz, welcome to the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the mighty 790 KFGO. I'm your host, Doug Lear, as we welcome you to the probably more factual and statistical midweek of summer or mid-summer edition of Outdoors Live. So those of you that feel that after the 4th of July that summer is over, fear not. Summer has just begun. We're halfway through. I completely understand. For a lot of families, you're talking a month from now when practices start, 3 weeks from now when a lot of the back-to-school preparations begin. Don't let that hold you back from camping, fishing, boating, enjoying the mid-summer outdoors across the prairies of the upper Midwest. On this weekend edition of Outdoors Live, we'll be giving you a taste of what's going on outdoors with CJ Johnson in Minnesota, Pat Stockdale in North Dakota. And here, we're joined by Jeb Williams. He's the Assistant Chief of the Wildlife Division for the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. And WMA's wildlife management areas are, again, as the name would entail, specific to wildlife. But they are across North Dakota in our backyard. Maybe you're familiar with Muir Pool down by Sheldon or Hamilton Wells by Leonard, Brewer Lake, near Erie and Page, or maybe you travel across North Dakota. There's wildlife management areas that are not just used during the fall hunting period of time. They're destination spots for a lot of people, but there's specific rules and regulations that prohibit, limit, and regulate how you visit these wildlife management areas. And Jeb, let's start off with a little bit of background on wildlife management areas in North Dakota, how many that we have and so forth.
We have just over 200 WMAs across the state, anywhere from the northeast to the southwest, all corners of the state, and of course a lot of places in between. Go from, you know, areas that literally are just a couple acres in size to areas that are, you know, thousands of acres in size. And so there is a lot of diversity in the acreage that's out there as, of course, of the size of the WMAs. But you know, there's no doubt that the department gets a little more benefit out of the larger WMAs, but there's always unique opportunities in some smaller areas as well, and the department has taken advantage of those as well over the years.
Jeb, when we talk about summer visitation to wildlife management areas, we've seen things change over the course of recent years in terms of regulations, and camping is a good place to start.
They have. Traditionally, our rules of camping on wildlife management areas have been that people cannot camp any more than 10 consecutive days in an area. Well, you know, obviously everybody knows that we've had, some changes in the northwest part of the state and the western part of the state with challenges with housing issues and those types of things. And so we've seen some of that traffic onto our WMAs and camping. And so to make it a little more enforceable and to make the experience greater for other people enjoying the area, we've had to put some additional regulations on there. And one of those is that we don't allow any camping on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. And there's even a stricter regulation than that, where we have a few wildlife management areas where we don't allow camping at all. And so people need to pay attention to the particular areas, and of course there's going to be signage at those, but if they have any questions on a particular area, they might want to jump on our website or give the Game and Fish Department a call before they go out.
Jeb Williams is the Assistant Chief of the Wildlife Division for the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. We're discussing the wildlife management areas, very, very popular recreation sites, not just in the fall of the year, and as Jeb mentioned, even more and more popular with the increase in visitation and people living here, and to be quite frank, people looking for places to stay for longer periods of time, for less money or for free, and Game and Fish has to adjust rules and regulations for that. Jeb, and I know over Memorial Weekend, 4th of July, that adjustments are made to better serve the recreational users. As we understand that sometimes it's the bad apple that ruins the whole lot, and you have to have rules and regulations because of those people that are trying to push the envelope, so to speak.
Exactly. If they do fall on a holiday, we do adjust that, and we've put out news releases about that to let people know that, you know, we will be waiving that restriction that's in place if it does fall right in line with the holiday, of course, which Memorial Day would, being it's on a Monday, and so giving people that extra time. And so that is something that we have done and we'll continue to do.
Every year over the 4th of July, you and I both and everybody else hears some of the frustrations from people thinking that they should be able to light off fireworks on wildlife management areas. And as we've explained in the past, fireworks, pyrotechnics are not allowed on wildlife management areas. And it should be pretty self-explanatory with fire concerns.
Fire concerns, being a big one for us on those areas. Sure. We want to make sure we're being good neighbors to private landowners around us that probably wouldn't be very welcoming to a fire that was started by fireworks or something else. And again, we want people to have a real positive experience when they're there, when they're on our property. And a lot of times that doesn't necessarily include having your neighbor stay up till 2 a.m. with fireworks.
Isn't that the truth in a lot of things in life, is when your own enjoyment starts to interfere and erode somebody else's time? Let's understand this. Jeb Williams, Assistant Chief of the Wildlife Division, stick around. We're going to visit more with him. But before we lead up to the next break, is whether it's putting your boat in the water, taking your boat off of the water, we're all out there to have some fun. Jet skiing, fishing, boating. And with as many people utilizing the boat access areas, Devil's Lake's a great example. With the huge surface area and volume of water versus what can be constricted access points, you can find lines on Devil's Lake. Instead of sitting there being frustrated, waiting for somebody else to get their boat out, seeing somebody struggling to get their boat into the water, give them a hand. If you are that person, ask for some assistance. Make sure that you've got everything in the boat ready to go before you back down the ramp. Make sure the plug is in and all that other stuff. When you're coming out, don't unload everything at the dock. Wait till you get it out of the water and away into the parking area to take care of that stuff. When you're on the water, understanding, similar to fireworks and to loud music at any campground, whether it's a WMA or Lake Ash Dubula or Brewer Lake, some people like to sleep in peace and quiet. Some people like to wake up early in the morning, have a cup of coffee, sit around the campfire at 5 a.m. You don't need to have the Mighty 790 blaring out of your radio, listening to the oldies at 6 o'clock in the morning. Use the KFGO mobile app. Put it in your ears and listen to it that way. Jeb Williams discussing problems, rules and restrictions on wildlife management areas. He's with us on the Mighty 790 KFGO. Coming to you from the bottom of Lake Agassiz, welcome to the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. I'm your host, Doug Lear, as we welcome you to the probably more factual and statistical midweek of summer, or mid-summer edition of Outdoors Live. So those of you that feel that after the 4th of July that summer is over, fear not. Summer has just begun. We're halfway through. I completely understand for a lot of families, you're talking a month from now when practices start, 3 weeks from now when a lot of the back-to-school preparations begin. Don't let that hold you back from camping, fishing, boating, enjoying the mid-summer outdoors across the prairies of the upper Midwest. On this weekend edition of Outdoors Live, we'll be giving you a taste of what's going on outdoors with CJ Johnson in Minnesota, Pat Stockdale in North Dakota. And here we're joined by Jeb Williams. He's the Assistant Chief of the Wildlife Division for the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. And WMA's wildlife management areas are, again, as the name would entail, specific to wildlife. But they are across North Dakota in our backyard. Maybe you're familiar with Muir Pool down by Sheldon, or Hamilton Wells by Leonard, Brewer Lake near Erie and Page, or maybe you travel across North Dakota. There's wildlife management areas that are not just used during the fall hunting period of time. They're destination spots for a lot of people, but there's specific rules and regulations that prohibit, limit, and regulate how you visit these wildlife management areas. And Jeb, let's start off with a little bit of background on wildlife management areas in North Dakota, how many that we have and so forth.
We have just over 200 WMAs across the state, you know, anywhere from the northeast to the southwest, all corners of the state, and of course a lot of places in between. Go from, you know, areas that literally are just a couple acres in size to areas that are, you know, thousands of acres in size. And so there is a lot of diversity in the acreage that's out there, as of course of the size of the WMAs. But you know, there's no doubt that the department gets a little more benefit out of the larger WMAs, but there's always unique opportunities in some smaller areas as well, and the department has taken advantage of those as well over the years.
Jeb, when we talk about summer visitation to wildlife management areas, we've seen things change over the course of recent years in terms of regulations, and camping is a good place to start.
They have. Traditionally, our rules of camping on wildlife management areas have been that people cannot camp any more than 10 consecutive days in an area. Well, you know, obviously, everybody knows that we've had, you know, some changes in the northwest part of the state and the western part of the state with challenges with housing issues and those types of things. And so we've seen some of that traffic onto our WMAs and camping. And so to make it a little more enforceable and to make the experience greater for other people enjoying the area, we've had to put some additional regulations on there. And one of those is that we don't allow any camping on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. And there's even a stricter regulation than that, where we have a few wildlife management areas where we don't allow camping at all. And so people need to pay attention to the particular areas, and of course there's going to be signage at those, but if they have any questions on a particular area, they might want to jump on our website or give the Game and Fish Department a call before they go out.
Jeb Williams is the Assistant Chief of the Wildlife Division for the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. We're discussing the wildlife management areas. Very, very popular recreation sites, not just in the fall of the year, and as Jeb mentioned, even more and more popular with the increase in visitation and people living here, and to be quite frank, people looking for places to stay for longer periods of time, for less money or for free, and Game and Fish has to adjust rules and regulations for that. Jeb, and I know over Memorial Weekend, 4th of July, that adjustments are made to better serve the recreational users. As we understand that sometimes it's the bad apple that ruins the whole lot, and you have to have rules and regulations because of those people that are trying to push the envelope, so to speak.
Exactly. If they do fall on a holiday, we do adjust that, and we've put out news releases about that to let people know that, you know, we will be waiving that restriction that's in place if it does fall right in line with the holiday, of course, which Memorial Day would, being it's on a Monday, and so giving people that extra time. And so that is something that we have done and we'll continue to do.
Every year over the 4th of July, you and I both and everybody else hears some of the frustrations from people thinking that they should be able to light off fireworks on wildlife management areas. And as we've explained in the past, fireworks, pyrotechnics are not allowed on wildlife management areas. And it should be pretty self-explanatory with fire concerns.
You know, fire concerns, you know, being a big one for us on those areas. We want to make sure we're being good neighbors to private landowners around us that probably wouldn't be very welcoming to a fire that was started by fireworks or something else. And again, we want people to have a real positive experience when they're there, when they're on our property. And a lot of times that doesn't necessarily include having your neighbor stay up till 2 a.m. with fireworks.
Isn't that the truth in a lot of things in life, is when your own enjoyment starts to interfere and erode somebody else's time? Let's understand this. Jeb Williams, the Assistant Chief of the Wildlife Division, stick around. We're going to visit more with him. But before we lead up to the next break, is whether it's putting your boat in the water, taking your boat off of the water, we're all out there to have some fun. Jet skiing, fishing, boating. And with as many people utilizing the boat access areas, Devil's Lake's a great example with the huge surface area and volume of water versus what can be constricted access points. You can find lines on Devil's Lake. Instead of sitting there being frustrated, waiting for somebody else to get their boat out, seeing somebody struggling to get their boat into the water, give them a hand. If you are that person, ask for some assistance. Make sure that you've got everything in the boat ready to go before you back down the ramp. Make sure the plug is in and all that other stuff. When you're coming out, don't unload everything at the dock. Wait till you get it out of the water and away into the parking area to take care of that stuff. When you're on the water, understanding, similar to fireworks and to loud music at any campground, whether it's a WMA or Lake Ash Dubula or Brewer Lake, some people like to sleep in peace and quiet. Some people like to wake up early in the morning, have a cup of coffee, sit around the campfire at 5 a.m. You don't need to have the Mighty 790 blaring out of your radio, listening to the oldies at 6 o'clock in the morning. Use the KFGO mobile app. Put it in your ears and listen to it that way. Jeb Williams discussing problems, rules, and restrictions on wildlife management areas. He's with us on the Mighty 790 KFGO. Welcome back to the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. I'm your host, Doug Lear. And if you're new to the program, I'm glad that you jumped on board. And whether you found us intentionally or by accident, we sincerely appreciate you allowing us to be a part of the second weekend in July of 2014. Now's the time when I will fully admit that we're halfway through summer, or halfway into summer, with half of summer remaining, because now you definitely know that there's people really trying to make sure that they get this done, and whatever this might be, whether it's fishing Devil's Lake, Castleton Reservoir, Dead Colt Creek, whether it's going for a hike through the Cheyenne Grassland. In fact, you know what? I wanted to share. I don't share a lot of my outdoor adventures publicly because I'll tell you honestly, I like to enjoy the outdoors anonymously. I'm not going to be some egotistical, everybody knows Doug Lear, but if I knock on the door in what would be called typical fashion and say, "Hi, my name is Doug Lear and I'm from West Fargo, and I was checking to see if you'd mind if I'd go pheasant hunting back here." People that hunt would understand my name and associate my name with it. So I try to do things as under the radar as possible, and I don't lie. I use my first name. I don't offer up my last name or anything like that. But where I was going with this is, you know, there's a lot of places to go and things to do and explore in your own backyard. And we did that a couple of times. And I'll talk more about things that I've done in the past rather than where I'm going in the future. But we went down to Fort Ransom for the 4th of July last weekend. And we do that just out of random once every 3 or 4 years. They got a great parade in Fort Ransom. It's a beautiful town. It's a beautiful setting for the 4th of July. And then we might go north to Clawson Springs or to Catherine Dam or Valley City or Bald Hill Dam. This time we went south, down into Lisbon, and initially looking for the only natural waterfall in North Dakota, which is in the Cheyenne National Forest, or the Cheyenne State Forest, between Fort Ransom and Lisbon. And it's kind of neat because it's not something that's easy to get to. It's not like there's a monorail that'll take you there or a paved road. And then we went down to Dead Colt Creek and decided to go look for Western Prairie Fringed Orchid, the endangered orchid on the Cheyenne Grasslands over towards McLeod. And again, it got me to think of how many people have done that. And I'm not trying to tell you that you need to go down and find the only natural waterfall in North Dakota. It's never going to be confused with Niagara Falls, okay? Understand and realize that you're going to be going for a hike to go find the waterfall. And the Prairie Fringed Orchid. You don't pick Prairie Fringed Orchids. They're an endangered plant. And the moral to the story that I continuously realize is whether it's people that live in West Yellowstone that have never gone to Yellowstone Park, people that live in Rapid City that have never gone to look at Mount Rushmore, there's a lot of things in our own backyard that sometimes it's really easy to overlook. Even I do pride myself on trying to experience as many things outdoors as I can in within probably 100 miles of our own. And there's a lot left to do. I've done a lot. We've done a lot as a family. And there's a lot left to do. And we actually, I'll talk about this a little later on in the program. We got to get a Central Dakota Outdoors report with Pat Stockdale here in just a moment. But also ventured east of the Red River. which is something I had to do something I've never done before. I stopped at tourist information right outside of Morin. More of that a little bit later on. Let's get a Central Dakota Outdoors report with Pat Stockdale. Pat, what's cooking outdoors this week?
Welcome to the Central Dakota Outdoors Report, a look at fishing and outdoor activities throughout eastern North Dakota and the Missouri River system. Devil's Lake remains the place to be when it comes to fishing success. There are good numbers of 15 to 18 inch walleye, which are still being taken throughout many areas of the lake. Try 8 to 15 feet with spinners and leeches or night crawlers, or crankbaits in the shallows of 4 to 8 feet on the windy days where you'll find bigger fish. Lake Ashtabula has generally good walleye success with a few pike mixed in. Bass slowed somewhat and bullheads were quiet. Work throughout the lake using a variety of presentations and bait. Try the evening hours for crappie and walleye on Jamestown Reservoir. Speaking of fishing in the evening, look for some smallmouth bass from Spiritwood Lake in the evening as well. Anglers are finding improving crappie success below Pipestem Reservoir spillway because of the higher releases in recent days. Richland, Sargent, Lemoore, McIntosh, and other central and southeastern lakes are producing some success using a variety of techniques along the weed edges in 10 to 15 feet. Anglers are marking fish and catching small walleye on bottom bouncers and spinners with night crawlers or leeches. Try perch or gold patterns, or you might also want to mix it up with white and silver. Bigger fish seem to be coming by casting crankbaits or using jigs tipped with soft plastics. Pike are mixed in with the walleye and biting on the same presentations. Heading over to area rivers, the stable weather is helping to drop the Cheyenne and Red Rivers. However, fast flows remain on the Cheyenne River from Valley City down to Catherine and Fort Ransom. Look for a few bass, walleye, pike, and catfish in the slower current or backwater areas. Catfish are improving on the Red River, but the water still needs to keep dropping a little for improving access and action. Try the deep holes or snags using cutbait goldeye. Feeder creeks and drains are better for walleye. The Missouri River has oodles of recreational boating activity in the Bismarck-Mandan area, so anglers are fishing to the north or south, in addition to the tail race. There, we're finding eater-sized walleye from boats. Try minnows or night crawlers with Lindy rigs or jigs, as well as crankbaits. There is an okay night bite from shore, with bigger walleye showing up from the rocks in the boat ramp area. Lake Sakakawea has a tough walleye bite with inconsistent depths and presentations. Try Douglas Bay with slower success along the east end. Look for fish to be along the points in 25 feet once the water temperatures warm up and we have a little more stable conditions. Lake Audubon is also so-so. Try working the weed line edges.
Appreciate that report with Pat Stockdale and a Central Dakota Outdoors report. I should also pass along one thing that I found particularly interesting as I was talking about the travels across southeastern, south central North Dakota over the weekend is, do you imagine places now and what they look like in winter? It's very easy at Fort Ransom because of the ski hill on the western slope of the Cheyenne Valley. And you go down into Fort Ransom and the beautiful summer day, the 4th of July was an absolutely gorgeous. It was an A+10 kind of day and weekend for that matter. And then I stop and I just think, what would this look like in the middle of February? Would it be bustling with people or would it be serene, quiet, white, and cold? And that has its own beauty in itself right there, don't you think? That's part of appreciating what it is right now and where you're at. Instead of going to Fort Ransom and wishing you were at Fort Snelling in Minnesota. Speaking of Minnesota, CJ Johnson is our last cast for this weekend of Outdoors Live. He's up next. And welcome back to the last cast of this weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. I'm your host, Doug Lear. Don't forget, this program is podcast. Thanks for the good work of Bob Harris at KFGO.com. So if you missed part of the program, I'd like to hear it again. And you can email us, outdoorslive@gmail.com. I was mentioning that we spent some time in the Cheyenne Valley. And then last weekend, we swung over to Pelican Rapids. And it just so happened, if you heard my conversation with Mike McFeely or earlier in the week on Tom Wynn and Friends, talking about some places like Pelican Lake that have had zebra mussels for 5 years. And we stopped at the Pelican and the Mill Pond, and it's listed as an infested lake, and I was unable to find a zebra mussel. I wasn't doing a biological, scientifically valid research attempt, but then also you've heard in the media that 5 years later, zebra mussels, at least in that lake, have not been the beginning of the end, which is a good, good thing. I think you'll be hearing more about this as time goes on, that yes, indeed, chronic wasting disease is bad. Eurasian water milfoil and carp and a lot of aquatic invasive species are bad. I am not downplaying zebra mussels whatsoever. They are bad, but hopefully maybe not quite as bleak of a future as was assumed, predicted 10 years ago. But it was a fun trip there and then up to Detroit Lakes. And I was telling you, I stopped at tourist, I couldn't find Pelican Rapids with just driving. I mean, I can find probably 80% of the places I go in North Dakota, and I could find Lostwood and Battleview and McGregor. I could get you to Bowman, Hettinger, Regent, Mott. I can find my way throughout much of North Dakota. Northeastern North Dakota gets a little bit tougher because there's a lot more roads. But I stopped at tourist information to get to Pelican Rapids. And in the words of Bonnie Amistadi, OMG. Oh my gosh, Doug. Yeah, that's how bad it is when you're a flat-footed North Dakotan venturing a little bit further east than Morehead. Here's a guy that ventures further east than Morehead every single day. And now it's time to take a closer look at the outdoors, the fishing, the activity, where people are going, what they're doing outdoors in Minnesota. And when we do that, we call on our good friend CJ Johnson. He is a Lisbon, North Dakota native and covered the outdoors in Minnesota for his career. And he's a regular feature on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live. Give us just a little taste of what's happening outdoors in Minnesota. CJ, how's things looking outdoors in Minnesota this week, my friend?
Well, pretty good, by golly. The monsoon seemed to stop for the most part in Minnesota. And as soon as it did, the sun came out and the water warmed even more. The fish started biting. In fact, Rachel Crone up in Lake of the Woods says fishing continues to be good up there. They're pulling harnesses and crawlers with some leeches and minnows. They seem to be the go-to method right now. However, jigging and trolling is also pulling in some fish as well. From Long Point, Zippel Bay, Morris Point, and Pine Island, you can try down about 10 to 14 feet with leeches or frozen shiners with a hammered gold, orange, or green spinner. That seems to be the one that's pulling them in. The Ely Chamber of Commerce says things are going well in Ely Lakes. Good number of walleyes, pike, and surprisingly lake trout right now coming to the net. Walleyes are hitting both crawlers and leeches when coupled with a spinner rig bounced along the bottom. Northern pike have been very active along the reed edges with many walleye, sunfish, and crappie being attacked right at the boat by some of the bigger pike. They've got some big pike in the Ely area. The Park Rapids area fishery didn't disappoint this last weekend. Nathan Campbell there says Park Rapids, well, we're already at the midpoint of summer and the walleye are taking advantage of the wide variety of feed available throughout the lake in the Park Rapids area. Walleye can be found suspended over deep water feeding on dwarf cisco, a cisco and panfish alike, really. Suspended fish are usually pretty active, and casting over the schooling fish can produce a lot of stripes. So if you find where the cisco are, you'll find the walleye as well. Christofferson's Bait and Tackle in the Alexandria area reports spinner rigs tipped with crawlers or leeches seem to be pulling in walleye. It's about 10 to 15 feet on Lake Mary and the Reno Lake, or on Lake Miltona and Lake Lahamadu chain. They're down 16 to 20 feet right about now. Plastics are turning bass on a lot of the established weed lines that are up and very visible this time of the year as well. Beth Fisher in the Wilmer Lakes area says this is the week to be fishing up there. Wilmer Lake, Foot Lake, they're very busy with walleyes and crappies being the main catch up there. The walleyes are also consistently being pulled off from Green Lake in the 20 to 30 foot range. From Diamond Lake along the weed lines, in the direction of the wind. That does make a difference. They like to hide their noses up behind the weeds, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Russ Hagemeister, a really good fishing guy, over in the Ottertail Lakes country, says fishing walleye and bass, panfish, and pike continue to be strong. Winds are a little bit different. Ross says one major change she's been seeing this season is the fish have been selecting different colors. Here are some strong tips and hints from this everyday fishing guide. Walleye, pay close attention to your leader lengths and trolling speeds, usually longer leader, slower speeds. For panfish, use a 1/32 jig head, tip to the chunk, a crawler or gulp should do the thing. Try pink jigs or a variation of white and fish them over weed tops, and you should come out with a really nice catch. In Detroit Lakes, crappies and sunfish continue to hit in the 10 to 12 foot weed lines of Big Detroit Lake and Lake Melissa, also Floyd Lake, Sour Lake, and Severson in the DL area. Live bait providing steady walleye action about 13 to 18 feet on Lakes Melissa, Big Detroit, Sally, Pelican, and the Big Cormorants. And Doug, growing up in Lisbon, I had a lot of summer, what they call part-time jobs. Back then, part-time meant a week and a half here, 2 weeks there, and so forth. And I remember one summer day I was working at the Lisbon Creamery, and I called my boss and I said, I can't come into work today. Well, naturally, he says, well, why? I said, well, it's my eyes. I said, really? What's wrong with the eyes? He said, well, it's pretty simple. It's so nice out that I just can't see myself coming into work today. I'm going fishing. Oopsie. Remember, the fishing's always good. It's a catch, and we got to work
on it. Oh, no doubt about it. CJ Johnson with some life lessons, as well as your fishing report to Minnesota Outdoors Report. He is a regular feature on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live. CJ, thanks so much. We love your access, your reports. We love the humor mixed in as well. Thanks so much for your time, my friend.
Oh, anytime.
Well, that's going to wrap things up for this weekend edition of Outdoors Live. A big thank you goes out to Bob Harris. He's the executive producer of the weekend edition of Outdoors Live. Until next time, I'm Doug Lear, reminding you, as always, keep your lines tight and your powder dry. Have a great one out there.